And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 864. And I'm flustered because the king is back, everybody. He is back. He's been hiding at Prospects Live because many people apparently don't know he's doing playing time over there, which is a great running joke these days. But he's doing the good old king stuff over there, keeping you up to date on who's playing, who's not, who should be, who you shouldn't be caring about, and much, much more. And you can find him over on the Twitter at Mike_Curlin. Mike Curlin, how you doing, my friend?
I expected a drum roll or something, man. This is underwhelming.
You should know by now the production value on this show is
this. Yeah. Hey, man, this is as good as it gets. I'll take it. No, I always enjoy coming on here, and we text and stuff behind the scenes all the time. So I'm not really talking to you is not the big thing, but coming back on the show is nice. I'm happy to be back. It's been weird. I know we've tried doing this a couple times, and like I've had to cancel, and I don't think you've had it. It's usually me. My schedule is real tough because it's the East Coast West Coast thing. Because your best time is right now, and this is usually when I start doing dinner, but the wife's out of town, so I'm pushing dinner back an hour, and the kids are okay with it.
Yeah, they're all good. Like, dad's a cool guy. But yeah, how's everything else going? How's the season treating you? Because I know people love, you know, how everyone's season's going.
I at one point, and it's still kind of lingering around, I'm calling myself the king of mediocrity. But lately it's been trending up a little bit. My DCs are legitimately either they're cashing or they're dead. It's a weird DC year. Normally I have 1 in 4th, 2 in 1st, and the rest are like 10th or lower. It's crazy. And then my OLACs are all 7th or I have a first place one. That one actually creeped up into the top 65 overall. So that's actually, I actually have a chance at an overall, and that's the only league I have a chance in overall. And even then 65th is, it's going to take a lot of grinding. Cause I'm pretty broke there. My OC, I got into 3rd recently, my other OLACs in 3rd. So those OLACs are going better, a lot better because I'm doing well there with the streaming and stuff. My main event, just injuries, but there's a legit path to probably getting back to like 5th or 6th. And then from there I need to climb. So I have half a season there to put in some work and maybe hit 3rd place. There's no winning that league. I'm not winning that league. I'm aiming for 3rd place. I think it's realistically doable. But it's going to be very, very, it's going to take some luck and a lot of grinding because it's just the health has been horrible on that team. So with that being said, it's been overall like a mixed bag. Probably that's why I'd say mediocre, some good highlighted, as I mentioned, but obviously a lot of bad. Those OLACs, though, the fact I have 4 of them. Yeah, I have 4 of them. And they're all, like I said, 2 of them are top 3, 2 of them are, and the other 2 are in 7th. So there's a chance I can obviously lose all of them or cash all. I think being in 7th is still okay with like in the mid 80s in points means there's room to still grow probably. So I don't know. Yeah. Overall, I think there's still a chance for a decent year, but it started off very slow for me.
That sounds like it's going well. There's nothing.
No, you should have seen me about 2 weeks ago. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
that's the grind, man. I have a few teams doing really well and a few teams doing really poorly. So it's just,
the DC surprised me, though, because I pride myself on being a pretty good DC player. And usually I cash in a handful every year, you know, 2 or 3 cash, win 1 or 2. Last year was kind of a downish year. 2 years ago was the worst. Last year was still kind of down. This year, it was trending. I thought it was going to trend. I really felt good about it. And then still, like, it's just weird. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. If I could win 2 out of 10, that's awesome. Like, I'm not complaining.
Back and more. You're good.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like you double your money. But how I just have such swings and extremes. And it's not like, oh, the early drafts or the late drafts. My latest draft, my last DC is in 1st. My 2nd DC is in 1st. And everything in between, I have 1/4 and the rest are 10th or lower. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Oh, I'm winning a DC 50. Hell yeah.
my biggest thing with DCs is like for like two years, I was doing really well. The last 2 years, it's just middle of the pack. It's been really annoying.
It's frustrating. So. Injuries. I mean, obviously injury luck on those.
I have so many.
It's not quite gladiator. Yeah, it's not touch, quite gladiator bad, but. Honestly, yeah. It's my favorite. I keep my gladiators hidden, but those are my favorite ones to look at because some of the early guys that you're in on that, like I got like all the Michael Harris. I don't know why I pivoted off him so hard. I have Michael Harris on most of those and like some really good players. So I have some decent gladiators. I have 1 in 2nd, 1 in 4th. Yeah, I'm looking at them now. And the other ones are mid pack, 1s in 11th, whatever. So it's just one of those things where I like to go back and see who was I in on. And then I realize, like just because that's your initial startup drafts usually, right? And then obviously you get in the DC season and you see your player shares fluctuate. And to go from guys like so my late teams have guys that I have no early shares of, and my early teams have guys I have no late shares of. It's just a weird dynamic. And then you start thinking about your process and all that. And that's just like on a Tuesday afternoon.
sounds like you're just a giant sheep.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Right. Meanwhile, I don't think I have any of the. I don't think I got into the big sheet picks. I think there was a couple, maybe. I don't know if I got sold on anybody. I had to look. I don't remember. I don't even remember who the hype picks were. I have no Acuna. I have one Acuna. He was a guy that got Reagans. I was in on, and then the price went up, so I got out. Bradish was another guy. I have all early shares because he was like a fifth through seventh round pick, and then he was like fourth, fifth. I was like, eh, got out on him late. He's been better lately, I think, fully, because he's on one of my good DCs. So I don't know. I think I was I don't know if I've sheeped necessarily at the my DC. If I sheeped, I'd probably be doing better.
You just don't stay vindicated on what you're doing.
Like, I just changed.
It's a whole podcast I want to have on another day is about just like, why do we stop? Like, I know that we always say everyone's got a price. Some guys go too high. Some guys are now low and affordable. But if it's someone we liked before, like it's the age old question. Why did we give up? And maybe it's a guy we shouldn't have liked to begin with. But if it's a guy that actually was good, why are we caring what the price is the big point.
Or just like the fact I wanted to diversify, right? So like I was on Schwellenbach early. This is before the injury news and all that. I started shifting off of him, and then injury news hit. So it was one of those, I was really upset because like I'd say like, I don't know, four out of my early six teams, I'm just throwing a number, it was like about 50% easily had Schwellenbach. But luckily, then I had to start thinking, well, at least it's only 50% because I was super in on that cost. And then even I understood there was risk, but I didn't think it was going to be like, oh, good. But then there was reports of him like throwing or something like that. So I was like, okay, I feel pretty good. And then obviously he got shut down or whatever. So, he's still not back and he might not pitch this year again. Yeah, it's one of those things where, diversification does help you. And then also like, you know, like you start off early. The reason why you draft based off of almost gut more than anything, because you finished out the year, these guys did whatever. And then the more you get into your process, the more you get into like, as things change with price or information, all that, you shift your thought processes and you shift your thinking and your builds because like, well, if the market is doing this, these players, I have to adapt. Either I jump in at these prices, which I did with some guys like Helsley, which may have been a mistake, and others. But then also because I'm taking Helsley here, now I got to figure out, well, this pick is now vacated. It's all checks and balances, right? So I think that's what happens is more the information. When you get information, you have to adapt to that information. And when the ADP changes, you have to adapt to that as well. Either you zig or you zag. And then that changes a lot of things, which ends up with different builds or players on your team.
Did you just use zig or zag out there?
I said zigs or zags. I said no, zig or zag.
It was going at like 5x speed in my brain.
I talk so fast. I talk so fast.
No, it's a whole, like, that's why we do so many strategy shows. Everyone does strategy shows.
My brain is broken.
To approach different things. But why we have you here is you're the playing time king. You're not
look
just
at you, look at you.
All
bring
these
me
things.
Back. Bring me back in.
That's what I've had a lot of practice with you.
You have to.
But for those that don't know, and I'm scared to throw this back into your court for a second, but we are going to do what we call rapid fire team by team. Nothing's rapid fire with Mike Curlin. Just remember that.
Yes, it is.
But let's give people that know, maybe even, you know, Zach's co-host that still I don't think is fully aware of what you do at Prospect Live. what are you doing over there? Cause you know, you kind of created your quote unquote niche when you were making your sheet for spring training, and then you kept kind of doing playing time. You had your website for like 36 days, and then that went away.
It was like 6 months, all right?
That's a full baseball season, buddy. So then what do you got going on at Prospect Live? Because I know we've talked off air, and this is the perfect storm for you.
So it's for those who've been around long enough, MLB playing time was like the thing in terms of it all started, like you said, it started with lineups in spring training, just monitoring those playing time and all that. Then recognizing, oh, wait, like obviously in season playing time, in spring training, it's more about you're projecting your lineups, you're projecting playing time. In season, you're more reacting. And there's still some projection there because you have to project guys to take bigger steps ahead of time to get ahead of Fab. So there is a little bit of projection there. But it's more reacting. So in season, it gets less hype, less interest, because like if you look at my lineups and if you look at Roster Resource or RotoWire, those are only the two I really know. I'm sure there's one more that like, I always forget to check on. But when you look at, I think of those three as like the three main places like people probably go to look at lineups right now. And most of these, because Prospects Live has such an audience already, this was just a nice little, we just came together. I can't think of the word. Anyway, But we look at them right now in season, there's gonna be a lot of similarities. It's very hard to be different because we're all reacting to the same stuff. But there are times where I might get a day or two ahead of Roster Resource. I've noticed like Martinez might get ahead of me a day or two. It happens because you're trying to do all 30 teams and a lot of it, it's all manual input. But the reason why I'm able to, the reason why now we're looking at what 3 months strong of this plus preseason was because they were able to build out something on the back end for me to just, it saves me so much time where it's simple. It's simple. And we did it differently. We did it slightly differently because we are on Prospects Live playing time, because that's what we did. Their way of like saying, hey man, we appreciate your effort and all that, was like taking the MLB playing time to and Prospects Live being the site that I work for now, which Prospects Live playing time, it just makes sense that we kind of, they merged it all into one name. So they kept the playing time thing. And so we have lineups on, like, you go to every team, the lineups have, you know, first lefty versus righties, IL obviously. And then we also have somebody, I forget his name, I'm awful with names, but we do have pitching as well. And that's managed by somebody else. That was another reason why I was able to keep up with it so much easier, is because I am strictly doing the hitting stuff. And we worked together. We came together with ideas like, okay, cool. A lot of these teams, and those are the teams we'll get focused on the most, but like the Marlins and others, they play guys semi-regularly. How do you show semi-regular, like, hey, this guy has semi-regular playing time? Well, we came up with like a part-time designation. So it's like we have the color system, blue strong side platoon, red weak side platoon, and then we have yellow for part-time players. And then the cool little thing about this, my favorite part, was we were able to integrate notes, like, and we have a little key that shows you, like, if a player has notes next to their name, it'll tell you how long they've been, the notes have been done. But
are you writing those notes, by the way?
I'm doing all the writing on those notes. So there's probably plenty of grammar errors and all that, because I'm writing them. But
if it's anything like the way you talk, it's deaf.
No, the word against, I can't tell you how many times I spell A-G-I-A-N-S-T. Anyway, that's like one of my biggest ones I actually look for every time
Florida
I write
the word against. Florida man trying to write synopsis. This is
good. It's Florida man schooling, Florida man everything. But the cool thing about the notes is that, like, so it pops up. I'm trying to find, let's see, probably going to start in Baltimore. I have no recent notes, but you'll see most of the notes within the last week. They pop up next, like, Basalo, view roster notes. You click on the notes, it pops up, and it gives you all. And sometimes it's as simple as Basalo has started 2 straight against the left-handed pitcher as the DH. Like, just a quick little blurb, a little like, hey, heads up, he's playing against lefties, basically. Sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes it's more in depth, like the Bleday news we talked about yesterday. I'll tweet it, but then I'll copy it and put it on here in case people see it on the site versus there, because you can actually go to a view all notes tab right there at the very top, right above the key, and it'll show you all the recent notes and news. Because what I do is I copy and paste the designation from the transaction page to players, like, I when they go on the IL, so you know their injury and all that. But then also I'll write my own notes of, like, hey, Andres Jimenez, Xander Bogaerts, Spencer, and then that's, these are all injuries, sweet. And then Bleday.
I've somehow never noticed the view all notes tab. That's freaking hilarious.
It's almost, so the view all notes tab is almost like RotoWire blurbs, but just about playing time. It's just it's all playing time. And if you look at the view all notes top right, you see it says view Baltimore, view all. You can pretty much view by team is what I'm gathering, I believe. I don't know why it's saying view. I think something happened there. It's glitching. It's only showing view Baltimore, because that's not helpful. But anyway, you can view all
notes. It says that, but it's showing all. If you just scroll, it's not all. Just
You are supposed to be able to shift by team, so I'll have to have that fixed. Either way, view all, though. And then you can actually, if you go to the all note types, you can go to injury notes. So if you want to see all the injuries, because, like, again, I go every day to the transaction page, and I just, anytime a person's placed on the IL, no matter how insignificant, Cody Freeman's injury designation's on there. So it's like, you can see every injury that's placed. If it's placed on MLB transactions, it gets copy and pasted into here by me. So, like, if you just want injury information, there's that. But then platoon watch, playing time concerns, like, I have no individual, you can sort by individual note type. So that helps too. But I just recommend the all notes tab, and it's dated. So you can see, like, okay, cool. The 23rd, let's go to the 24th. If you want to read just today's notes. And there's like 7 of them so far. Some days busier than others. Usually I get like a decent write-ups in on like Fridays or Saturdays. Sundays I stay busy with Fab and other at life. So Mondays we'll get a decent update too. I'm not trying to hide nothing. I just try to get them out. I try to get the notes out early, but then Sundays are usually real busy for me. So at the end of the day, though, the notes are cool, because it used to be like when I used to do those really in-depth write-ups for The Athletic during spring training. It's pretty much that, but now I get to do it in curl invert in form, in terms of like small blurbs,
at your pace.
If I have a thought, I get to just add it and move
on. Which is always terrifying when you have a thought. So,
well, yeah, that's fair, because I usually don't think, I just do. But that's why these notes kind of are like perfect little like blurbs of like sometimes very simple, one line, two lines of like, hey, recent playing time trend. But it's just an idea, and but that also helps with the part-time thing, because sometimes I have a guy marked as part-time, and what does part-time mean? And if you look at Norby's playing time, for instance, for the Marlins, because again, it's like he'll play every third day, so I'll put him as like, okay, he's part-time. He's not quite full platoon, but he's not playing enough. And that's where the part-time role comes in. So, and it helps because you have some of these teams playing 10 guys with nine spots, right? So how do you show that without putting him as a bench player? And that's another way of trying to show that. And that's why we have roles on righties versus lefties. You'll see the roles, majority regular, everyday regular, strong platoon, weak platoon, part-time. Like, we have those roles there. So a majority regular suggests, okay, they play most of the time compared to an everyday regular where they only get the occasional day off, right? So the majority regular might be the guy who plays 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5. That's kind of how we came up with that system of having a role there too. So it's trying to give a little deeper of a look versus just the whole strict platoons, because some of these teams don't allow for strict. Some of these teams don't do strict platoons. They do, but they also add in the part-time guys that just play enough to where it's annoying and you can't quite figure out an everyday lineup. And this was the kind of like how we came up with an idea to combat that. And yeah, we're trying. I want to if you click on the player, it'll show you, like, right now I'm looking at Baltimore Taylor Ward. If you click the little down arrow, you can see where he's played the last 5 days and where he's batted in the lineup. But I want to clean that up. I do like how Roster Resource does that. So definitely want to clean this up to where it's. I want to clean it up to where it's more. There's not enough detail there. Like, it's good to know where they batted in the lineup and where they played, but you don't know who they like, if they face lefty or righty. And yeah. Also, I understand. Like, I know I hear the kid Ben Tidd, the kid, always referencing the Roster Resources. Like, I use. Baseball Reference, not because I don't like Roster Resources, it's because I want to stay away from Roster Resource so I don't get any type of bias from like what Jason's seeing or something, right? So I don't like, but I know they, it's a separate tool in there that they have for the lineup tracker. I just go to Baseball Reference has one for every team. I just use theirs. I have quick like hot links for hot keys for them and stuff. So it's a little more tedious, unfortunately, but it's my way of staying off of Roster Resource to avoid biases, because I know you can just go there and see their like last 7 days or whatever, or last 5 days. I want to somehow get something. I don't know how it would be any different. I want to get something like that, though, here next year, if that's possible, too. Just a way to keep people, because that's something else that people would go to Roster Resource for, and if we can have something, a sort of something that's similar but different, because I don't want to be that same thing. I think that's ridiculous. Like, you don't, like, if you're not improving it, don't do something that's exactly the same unless it's improving it, right? Yeah, at least in my opinion.
That's a great point. That's why Blue Chew made Blue Chew gold. So it makes a ton of sense on that. They improve the game. Yeah. All right.
So that was just quick, right? But that's
we're on a great pace to hit 30 teams here, as our time is down to about an hour 10. So,
I felt like it really required a lot of in-depth.
I think it's actually good to do what you did, because a lot of people don't only think, I know people that know you know what you got going on. I don't think enough people know what's over there, and like, yeah, your stuff is very handy, and I think it's very useful.
If nothing else, I tell people all the time, use it as another resource. Like, if you're like, okay, I want to look at what Martinez does on Roster Resource, I'm not saying not to do that. It's like projection systems, right? I look at it like it's very similar. I think mine's the best, just like he would think his is the best. The point is to be better, right? You want to be as accurate as possible. You want to provide the best product as possible. I feel like we do that here at Prospects Live on the roster side of things, on the projected lineups and lineup side of things. He's going to feel like he does the best over there, but why not look at both of them? Because if there's a difference, good. Now you can see, you can ask yourself why, maybe go digging yourself. But I try to give those notes to spoon feed you a little extra information on time from time to time.
Perfect. Let's go to the Baltimore Orioles. Let's kick things off here, see how far we can get this evening.
All of them got this.
For the most part, it's a team that we see a lot of the same players in play here, and that's what's kind of obviously mentioned by majority regular, everyday regular. Mm-hmm. There are a couple platoon situations, but I guess more importantly, is there anything standing out? I think we're trying to focus on like recent trends, because I think by now or halfway through the year, most of us know that, you know, Couser primarily plays versus right-handed pitchers and tons back, and he usually plays versus lefties. But anything in Baltimore standing out that we should maybe keep an eye on?
It would have been obviously Blaze Alexander, but that's old news. He's hitting really well, playing every day just about. We saw Kobe Mayo kind of losing playing time in the process. Jeremiah Jackson, that was fun for like 3 weeks. That's the only thing I would say is this is when you're looking at this roster, it's hard to show that projection, but obviously we have Dylan Beavers coming back from the IL soon, right? So that's, you guys are thinking Maybe Tavares is out of a spot. Does Kowser lose playing time again? You have to start looking that way. And I think that will just be simply who's hitting better slash producing better overall, both sides of the ball. But Beaver's coming back. He's on. He probably might be even back by the weekend, right? He's already, unless he got a setback. I haven't seen.
No, I haven't heard any setbacks yet. So,
but he's rehabbing.
Large possibility.
So when he comes back, you have to start thinking, is Kowser really safe? Is Tavares? This is more your 15 teamers, but these are still names that like Beavers. So this goes back to the projecting side of things. So Beavers would be the only name I'd bring up as a, hey, keep an eye on him. At the very least, he comes back, he'll be a strong side platoon at minimum. And that could be as simple as he's platooning, Kowser platoons, and Tavares falls into a weak side platoon. Even though I think, I could be wrong, I thought Tavares was better against righties than lefties, but it doesn't matter. Beavers might not even platoon. I know he kind of falls in and out of them as it goes along, but anyway.
Perfect. So the Boston Red Sox, no more Beaver talk around here. We got a couple platoon situations. Mickey Jasper has been banged up, so that's kind of disappearing a little bit these days. But Marcelo Meyer has been in a strong platoon. That's been something we've noticed for a while. Somehow Monasterio is getting that playing time. But Nate Eaton has slowly creeped into playing time. I'm not a Nate Eaton, like, I'm not saying run and go roster Nate Eaton, but it's primarily a lefty thing. Anything in Boston, it seems like those are the main two spots, a shortstop and an outfield position right now.
Yeah, Gasper, like you said, I put him back as a strong side platoon, but might be just because, like you say, he's been banged up, so he hasn't been playing. He was kind of playing every day for a little bit here, and between DHing and catcher, it's just a plate appearance or at bat that you're just chasing volume at the catcher two spot, right? That's what he would be for. Which Yoshida being in theory a better hitter and not a catcher, which as I have him listed here for some reason. This is where I mess up all those all the time. Anyway, he would be the only one. So Yoshida might get some run right now. That would be a short term thing. But the big name, and I say big name like in air quotes, because he's not like a huge name by any means, but Anthony Siegler, he's had relevance in the past. And he's been playing every single day, switch hitter, second base, I believe, both against both lefties and righties. At least that's how I have it, so it's probably where he's been playing. And a little bit of power, a little bit of speed. I was a little old for – he's 27 years old, so he was a little old for AAA. But, it's one of those things where it's more speed than anything, and the power's not zero type of thing. But right now he's just playing every day. If you're looking for plate appearances, that's a name. But like you said, there's really – Durbin's been picking it up a little bit.
Let's have some fun with that for a second. So Durbin left Wednesday's game with a dislocated pinky. They popped it back into place. He's going to have to go on the IL.
He's back tonight.
So he's already back. I haven't seen today's lineup.
No, I figured. Yeah, I was looking at – shocker, I was looking at lineups before we got on.
Yeah, because that was one. Who fills in there? Like that's a whole – because Durbin's actually playing well.
So if Durbin wasn't, I feel like that's where your Nate Eaton or Monasterio could have easily plugged right in. Probably Eaton maybe his first shot. Those would be the next man up types. But Eaton let off against a lefty the other day, so I think that's more of a weak side platoon thing. Monasterio, obviously, kind of an everyday, a weak side platoon partner right now with Mayer, but also can plug in as needed against righties. But they don't play enough versus righties to be considered part-time guys just yet. So I'm more so, Siegler being the only name of, interest for your deeper leagues if you're looking for a volume play, because right now he hasn't done anything on either end, but he is playing every day. So, and I think he's in tonight's lineup as well. He's batting seventh again.
Beautiful. Let's go to the New York Yankees, which they've been pretty much locked in. Like they're letting, with all their injuries, they kind of have to, Dominguez plays against everybody. Jones is the only guy that pretty much sits religiously versus left-handed pitching. Other than that, it looks like we kind of know who's playing where is the best way I would say it. Anything standing out to you with the Bronx Bombers?
No, I mean, Dominguez is doing a little bit of that power speed thing that we, and the playing time's there. And with Stanton's setback, I was worried about Goldschmidt. I think is interesting because
he's slowing down at the plate.
No, he just had two home runs yesterday.
Oh Jesus.
But, And both of them are off Tarek Skubal. Great.
I think Skubal's still broken, by the way, but that's a whole nother show.
The only two runs he gave up, but I digress. That's not the problem here. I don't think people realize how bad Goldschmidt's been against righties because he's been good against lefties. So the splits I looked yesterday when I put, and this was before the two home run game against the lefty. So his OPS against lefties before yesterday's game was 1,222 or something crazy. And now we're going on a 3-month sample of him hitting that well against lefties. The righties, he has I think it's 650-ish OPS, maybe less. and like batting 200 with like an OBP below 300 or something crazy. So like Goldschmidt batting top three or top four against righties, but not actually good against them right now. So it's one of those things where, hey, he's one of those guys that I've gotten lucky on because I've been riding I've ridden almost the whole hot streak in 15s. I don't think it's sustainable it's such a weird profile. As long as he can keep hitting, if he could face two lefties a week, he might be able to sustain overproducing because he's so bad against righties right now. And it's just weird. So it's one of the things I want to point out. Like,
I guess that's kind of what I meant by he's been so bad. It's the righties things. If he's not facing a lefty, it's horrible. So then you mentioned two homers. It's off a lefty. That's quite the.
It's crazy how good he's been. But it's really because of how much he's facing lefties and absolutely obliterating them, which is fine. And again, production is production. You don't care how you get it. And you're going to start him regardless if he faces six lefties six righties, because if he gets a couple lefty relievers and does the damage against them, that's all it takes. At the end of the day, though, if this team ever gets healthy, which, you know, who knows how long it'll be before Judge and Stanton are back, that might be the reason why Goldschmidt just plays the rest of the year, most of the year, regardless. But if they were healthy, I don't know how much he'd be playing against righties right now.
Well, you so would it's think one of them would be DHing, most likely. He wouldn't be getting those at bats.
That's what I'm getting at. I understand where I'm playing lots of ifs, ands, and buts here, but right now Goldschmidt has an everyday job. I'm just saying it's one of those things where if they randomly got healthy, but I guess there's no random unless they traded for somebody, they don't have the depth to force him out. So it was just more so this, hey, just a heads up, the guy hasn't hit righties well all that well this year, but he has been hitting them better during this stretch, just still not great overall. It's really, like you said, it's so I guess something that just happened was McMahon went on the IL. Don't know how long that, it's like a throat, like it sounds like it was like ear, nose, or was it ear, nose, and throat, or eye,
hands?
Yeah, that
hand, one. Yeah, hand, throat, and mouth. Hand,
foot, yeah, that mouth one. Diseased. That yeah, one. That
foot, mouth. We yeah. have kids.
I still don't know the name of it, but yes, that one. But it's weird because it usually affects, you know, don't get me wrong, it affects adults, but usually it's elderly and young children, the immune system thing. Anyway, so Caballero safe, Volpe gets back to everyday playing time. And I think that's pretty much the two big ones. And then they called up Oswaldo Cabrera. We have to see some lineup. We haven't seen a whole lot of lineups. Cabrera hasn't played the two nights that he's been up yet, I don't think. So,
yeah. I think it's Caballero, Rosario will be playing third base a lot.
Yeah, well, you have Rosario against righties for sure, which we know. Or lefties, sorry. We have Rosario against lefties, which is always a thing. But Caballero goes back from because you know him and Volpe mostly was like sitting against righties. Now Volpe has a role or a path to just about, I'd say, majority playing time against righties right now. Not that he's going to do much with it necessarily, but it's there. The path is there because Caballero is going to slot in. At least he slotted in that third yesterday, I believe. So that would be the one thing happening right now for the Yankees.
Makes sense. All right, let's go to the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that basically was one of the original OG. That's like platoon half of our lineup that we dealt with time and time again. But it's been interesting, like off and on this year, like Cedric Mullins has been in a soft platoon is what I'd call like a soft spot and gets to play a lot of the games. And Johnny DeLuca's back and he's getting some reps versus righties and lefties, but still not playing every single day. So kind of how are you hashing out this situation? Because I'd love a Johnny DeLuca full-time role, and I guess this is the closest to full-time he's been in a long time, sadly enough. But there's only like four guys maybe we can call full-timers on this team.
Yeah, and DeLuca is pushing for that role.
Getting close.
So he obviously came up, and we all know, I think him sitting against a righty was the best thing to happen for people that were in on him last weekend, because he came up, sat against a righty, faced both lefties, and then Monday he faces, I think, two out of the next three. He's sitting today, I believe. So I think he's faced two straight, sat today, but again, they're going to give him regular rest. He sat today. So they're going to give him regular rest, which is going to be against righties, which is why I have him as a majority regular right now against righties. Because if he's playing four out of six, I'd say that's close enough to majority. That's kind of my line for majority regular. And I think that we can expect that because Mesa, although of course Mesa did hit a home run, I think he sat three straight before today against righties. So it's like he's obviously relegated to a fourth outfielder role right now in that respect. He sat two straight before in favor of DeLuca. So I'm surprised Simpson. I don't know how, I haven't checked in on him, but I thought Simpson was like just awful.
He's like picked it up the last week. He's stolen a couple bags and gotten on base, but he had about a month stretch where it was dreadful.
I thought he was going to strip, get like sent down type of bad at one point.
It was heading that direction, it felt like.
And Simpson also took over that playing time against lefties over Mullins. So Mullins has shifted into a strong side platoon, basically having started one of the last four against lefties, whereas Simpson pretty much been, I'd say, again, I call him more majority regular against righties. So at the end of the day, this team's very platoon friendly, but I think DeLuca is more of a majority regular overall. And it's kind of, I know it's not typical of the Rays to let, like, to not platoon these guys, but DeLuca's kind of forced their hand, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he'd be the only guy that kind of stands out recently right now. And he's always bats top three against lefties and bats around sixth against righties.
Yep, that makes sense. Anybody else on Tampa? Because it feels like the rest is kind of like whatever. DeLuca's
exactly,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Taylor Walls, man. That guy just never he stops. Steals a bunch.
That's it. We're going to Toronto. We're not talking
about that. So I legitimately, he crossed my mind because I was, again, I was that desperate at middle infield. I had IKF in Waterfalls. Of course, yeah, he had
and he goes on the IL just to
right before Coors. Yep. Walls has 12 stolen bases in 60 games. Like, and I think, I think it was last week, he was just running. He had a two stolen base game last week and then the week before. So it's been like four stolen bases the last 2 weeks. Like, again, everyday playing time steals bases. If you're desperate, absolutely desperate for stolen bases, technically that's a name, but that's somebody I would still try to find him elsewhere because it's empty stolen bases, and it could be a week without stolen bases too. It's far from a guarantee, but just something I noticed. He was really running last couple weeks.
Good to keep an eye on that in your deeper formats.
God, it's so gross. I feel gross even mentioning his name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why I tried to stop. I tried to help you, but I tried to save you from yourself.
But this is with the stuff that I keep my eyes on. This is why, like, I feel like you have to know this stuff.
Oh, I notice most of these things, but there's certain things. Like,
you just have. You shouldn't even waste your time. I get it.
Toronto Blue Jays, another team like Nathan Lucas. He came back from the IL. He was the primary right fielder. He's getting his run. Dalton Varsho's back. He's getting his runs. I kind of took away those platoons. The left field situation is a pretty hardcore platoon, which is a bummer at times. But anything standing out to you when it comes to, like, Luis Urias is getting tons of time at second, which is kind of stupid but surprising. Anything for you here?
So Urias.
That was with Clement out. So
that's what I was going to get. So Clement entered the lineup today. I don't know where to place him against righties because I know he's been hitting higher, but then, like, they just got healthy and Luke's been doing all right, or Lucas, whatever his name is. So I put Urias for now as a weak side platoon partner because he's facing a lefty today and they sat Jimenez. And not that Jimenez isn't better defensively or anything, but they have shown a willingness to platoon Jimenez, what, like a couple weeks ago even. So I'm projecting that platoon to happen now, and with Clement back, he'll play shortstop against lefties. Clement's an everyday guy. Urias, weak side platoon. So Jimenez might lose some playing time against lefties, but he sucks anyway. Jesus Sanchez has kind of been a tough read because he has sat two of the last four because they like to play because they've been playing Schneider more.
Schneider.
So I don't have them in a strict platoon because they haven't been in one. And that's where it gets weird because this is where the part-time thing comes into hand. But it's also pretty quick moves, and I think I might even have notes on them on the site. I'm looking on the back end right now, so no, I haven't really updated their notes the last week, but I usually do. I think there might be a note on Sanchez over the last week because I did notice Sanchez has sat two of the last four against righties because Snyder filled in both those times. So I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know if it's just like a couple needed days off, but it's weird. It was just weird. So I put Sanchez as a part-time guy instead of a full-time, like, strong side platoon for now. That's one of the ones where I'm like, Sanchez isn't playing enough even for 15-teamers. Like, he was available in one of my leagues, in one of my 15s. I didn't even put in a bid for him after I saw this start happening because he was already a guy that wasn't playing every day. And then now you have a guy like Varsho, who I love Varsho, who doesn't, not hitting for power, but he's weak side platoon or strong side platoon. So he's been sitting against lefties, and this goes back before he got injured, I think, if memory serves. He's sitting today against lefty as well, and that's kind of like he hasn't started against a lefty since. And the reason why, because I thought maybe it was before the injury, but it's been since May. So all of June he hasn't started against. I know he's played some games in June. He hasn't started against a lefty. So, yeah, I'm assuming he's on a strong side platoon as well with Miles Straw. So Schneider's playing a little more, but not enough to root the roster. And Sanchez is playing a little less, but not enough to add him if he's dropped. But I'd also be afraid to drop him because that could easily flip with Lucas. But Lucas is playing against lefties even more often than not.
He started the primary right fielder.
He started, left and right field, mostly right field. He started, one, two, three, five, of the last, six of the last seven against lefty. So clearly everyday guy. So Lucas is getting all that playing time over Varsho. It's a mess. This team does change their outfield rotation more often than you'd expect. But as they've gotten healthy, Sanchez, and again, Snyder and Sanchez were a platoon basically until they're not now. So that's, I honestly expect that to kind of get back to where Sanchez is an everyday guy against righties and Snyder everyday against lefties. But I can't put that on the playing on the lineup because that's not what we're seeing right now. But once we start seeing that more, I'll probably end up swapping Sanchez back to a full-time platoon role, but he doesn't have it yet, which is weird. It's weird to see a part-timer. You would think it's an error that I made him part-time as a cleanup hitter, but he batted fourth in like the last lineup. So
yep. It's not done yet, but it's just one of those teams that definitely keeps
it's an weird, eye on.
The weekly schedules with these guys could really affect what you got going on for fantasy. Let's go to the AL Central. The Chicago White Sox, one of the most exciting young offensive teams in baseball right now, but you're starting to see some people creep into some playing time, which is quite interesting because, like, Jacob Gonzalez is not good. Benintendi, he has his moments, but not great. Luis Angel Acuna is getting more playing time, but it sucks because it seems like it's just a platoon in this one. So what are we seeing with this? And you even have Antonacci as a part-time player versus lefty. So what's clicking in Chicago?
So that was just, I think I have to update that one actually, because he's started the last two, I believe, against lefties. But I think he went through like a period of like sitting more than I'd like against lefties. So I kind of toggled with that part time. No. It's not against lefties. It's been very, there's something. I must have messed up my search because this is where there it goes. I'm double checking there. Antonacci sat two out of three at one point, has started the last two. So this is where it gets weird. Like, that's why I left him as a part timer because although Antonacci's playing the last two in a row against lefties, he sat two of the last three prior. So clearly they weren't prioritizing his playing time there, but he plays enough to where it's like, it's getting to the point where I'm probably gonna swap back to like a majority regular here while we're on the show, honestly. But Acuna, he's played two of the last three against righties, but I don't know, like, am I supposed to, like, but then they played Jacob Gonzalez back again last game. So I'm not ready to make that swap just yet either, but Acuna does become interesting if he is going to play more, obviously just for the speed itself.
Swinging it well right now.
It's just one of those things where he's played two of the last three, but then before that, his last start against a righty, he's had one start since May 22nd against a righty up until the last two out of three. Like, it was bad. He went on a run of like one righty between May 22nd and June 22nd. So one start against a righty that whole month from what I'm seeing, unless I'm, again, mistaken by what I'm seeing, but I'm looking. So then the fact that he started two in a row, just weird. It was just a weird, I don't know why, who was out. Because they sat Gonzalez for those games. And who played shortstop? I don't see who played shortstop. He played one. Who plays shortstop usually?
Wilson Montgomery.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So they have Montgomery at third.
Remember Montgomery was banged up for a couple games?
And then they had Montgomery at third base, and then they had him, and then Montgomery was out. They didn't start Acuna over with Montgomery out. Oh, because there's two Montgomerys that throw me off now. Never mind. Okay, in disregard. Two Montgomerys throw me off. But yeah, so Montgomery's been playing third, though. He has been. That's been the thing. He's been playing third, and that's with Vargas playing first. It's been a kind of a little bit. They moved people around to get Acuna in, but long way of saying Acuna hasn't played enough for me to change his role yet because he did get those two starts, but then that's it. Like, he's like, so far, like, if he plays three out of four, I'll plug him in over and put Jake Gonzalez as a part-time role on the bench. Acuna would be a majority regular against righties, but I need to see more than just a two-game stretch, considering the fact they started once against a righty over the last month prior to that little stretch. So it's one of those things where I want to see more, and I'll definitely update it before the weekend, before Fab runs. So I try to do a decent Saturday update.
Perfect. I'm curious. I want Acuna to play, so that would be great to see. Let's go to the Cleveland Guardians, where we know they have a couple platoons in play. Most of them don't even really matter to what we care about for fantasy. But Khalil Watson was a popular, promotion recently, and he seems to be in the strong, like, you have him as a part-time player against lefties, full every day against righties. It seems like it might be a platoon situation, who knows, but what are you seeing with Cleveland, because with all the injuries they are moving guys all over the place?
So that's the big thing there with them, is that they move players around. And I put him as a part-time guy because I think he just started against a lefty, or he started against two of the last three lefties, which surprised me when I saw that, because they've been facing a lot of lefties lately. Yeah. But with when you see who's on their team and you have a guy named Petey Halpin, who's probably from the 1920s, I still don't believe he's like a modern day player.
Should be, yeah, he should be in a Netflix film or something.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think this is a real. I feel like he's a created player name that gets generated from MLB The Show or something. So that's why it's one of those things where you have guys like him. You have Hoskins playing part time against righties. You have David Fry filling in as needed. So Watson becomes interesting because I think he's one of those guys that if you go to roster resource, I'm going to go right there now. I'm going to go see what they have him as, because that's one of those weird differences. They have him platooning. And Quan, but see, this is where I didn't realize Quan hadn't played against lefty in a while. Like, I was not that I was super late on it, but I was definitely like a week or two, I was probably a week behind putting Quan in the platoon role, because I just in my head, I'm like, oh, he plays every day. No, he really doesn't. And so Quan's actually the bigger, and that's why. So with Quan not playing against lefty, somebody's got to, and it's
David Fry.
David Fry, but it's been Watson and Hoskins, and it's weird because Hoskins plays enough against righties, but not every day. Like, I don't know. It's, and even if he does play every day, you don't want him. He went on a stretch of playing, like, I think quite, oh, that's lefties. He went on a stretch playing against a bunch of righties. Or not a bunch, but enough. And now it's back to like being just annoying, not worth the headache, unfortunately. Or fortunately, because I don't know. I'm not a fan. Like, he's playing. I'm just babbling. He's playing more than I realized, but still, like, I don't want to give him full time. He sucks. He sucks. I have to change it to majority regular. Cause so he went through this phase of like two on, three off.
No Taylor Walls, but yeah.
He's definitely been playing more regularly lately against righties. I feel like I noticed that. And I still didn't update it. Whatever. We'll do live updates on the show. I'm not perfect. I'll do a live update on the show. It's fine. Anyway, he still sucks. I don't want him. I wouldn't draft. I wouldn't go after him unless I was absolutely desperate for power anyway. But Watson is interesting because we know there's tools there. And I think he hit a home run the other day. It's one of those things. I feel like he's just that it's a volatile type profile, though. So I wouldn't break the bank for him.
Agreed. Let's go to the Detroit Tigers, another team that has gotten healthy with, like, a couple weeks ago, Carpenter coming back and a couple pieces. You still have Torkelson somehow playing every single day, but you got a few platoons. Honestly, nothing too exciting. The only thing is Ben Malgary was recalled or promoted from double or triple A, played a couple straight games, got a couple knocks. Like, I'm not over the moon with it, but that'll be a popular question this week. Is that something worth considering, or is it just kind of the usual suspects in Detroit?
I don't know what to do with Detroit. This is a lineup that, I'm not exaggerating, when I see them post it, I pull up the website, I pull up this my back end, I pull up, well, that sounds interesting.
That's a later show, folks.
That's Bubba After Dark. Yes, I know. My bad. Sorry. So I pull up the back end of the website, and I set it up with the lineup of the day, and I edit this lineup every single day because he keeps a lot of similar names in, but Carpenter's batting second today, I believe, because that's how I put it in here, which means he'll bat fourth or fifth tomorrow. And it's aggravating. This is a lineup that has zero, but what was his name? Lee. How You Lee? I don't know if I said that right. How You Lee, baby. I like that name. Outman. Outman's an everyday or strong side platoon center fielder. McKinstry plays most days now, especially with their lack of options. But like How You Lee, like, he's been playing most of the time. I'd say he's a majority regular against righties, getting close to that everyday regular, but they do just enough where they put like McKinstry at, like, so they'll move players around to get guys are in there. So Malgary's faced a few. He started against a couple lefties and stuff, I believe. So it's one of those things where I think he's more of a platoon role right now. But it's this team, just they have a lot of guys that take, like, Colt Keith will it'll be a six righty weekend. He'll still sit once or twice sometimes, and it's like, why, for what? They're making points for Jemiah Jones to still play over Carpenter, which I know Carpenter isn't good against lefties, but not like Jones has been doing anything this year. So I don't know. There's a whole lot of just pain, a lot of pain with this team. Nothing like Matt Vierling was interesting for like a week or two, just like Winsel Perez was. So right now there's, I don't know, until I see more consistency out of Malgary, I don't see if there's not a whole lot there.
I'm not that excited about him. I just know people will be asking.
It's more about, like, you're trying to get ahead of, like, even if you could project a regular role for him, that'd be great. Like, it would help it would help a lot. But when he's only faced, he hasn't faced a single righty since he's come up, and that includes today's lineup too. So yeah, that's where it's just a reminder. Like, unfortunately, these guys who are like not the most exciting prospects, but still have some upside. If the playing time's not there, you kind of have to. He's no Khalil Watson where there's upside playing time, but also that could fall flat on your face. Like, almost like we'll get to him, Denzer Guzman, guy that just made no sense, but you could ride the wave sometimes.
Yep. Anyway, it worked out. Kansas City Royals, obviously Bobby Witt's been out, so that'll affect some things we're looking at here. Carter Jensen's getting a ton of run with like Vinny P out. Cags has gone to first, which has opened up some outfield fun. Cameron Meisner, an old Rays legend, appears to be getting some more playing time versus right-handed pitching. Not much versus lefties, but it seems like a couple pretty strict platoons and a whole lot of everything's normal.
Yeah, Nick Lofton might just play more often now. That's not a good one. It's awful. It's stupid. It's not even funny. But it's or you might take Nick might give you an L often. Okay, that's worse.
Yeah, it's way worse. You stick to the script.
Anyway, he's playing. He'll probably play third base right now with what's his face out.
Yeah.
I didn't put him on the IL. He just sucks. Garcia's just he's just been bad. So Garcia's out. And Lofton's been the guy that took that role, so that's a playing time guy, volume. And Lofton, like you said, he's been playing well. So, he's a guy that just, for 15s, he's not quite 12s, in my opinion, not yet. But I'd say 15s, he's definitely a lot more viable, especially as injuries pile up and people need some, because he should have middle infield, I believe, second base, and then he'll have some corner CI, too, soon enough. So that's always nice to have. Bobby Witt, the report came out today, probably while you're at work. He's expected back tomorrow. So I have him in the starting lineup as a projected, like I still have him in that projected starting lineup. Lane Thomas been playing most days, had his big week last week or two. Was it 2 weeks ago or was it last week? I don't remember. It was a big week.
Last week. Yeah.
I have him, that is part of why I have him in a couple spots, but like, he's one of those guys that's like, even though he's playing every day, it's real fringe. We know there's a little juice there. Otherwise, I think Carter Jensen's been playing most days too.
Pretty much every day. Yeah.
Yeah. I have him as part time against lefties, but I probably have to fix that. He's been playing most days, especially with, all the injuries. Yeah. All the injuries have been just crazy for this team. So it's been mostly the fringe guys. Meisner's been playing against righties for the most part and stuff like that. But even he sat against a righty today. So maybe Tolbert's actually been playing more, but that's probably about to be done with Whitback. So, once we get Whip back, we'll have a better idea of this lineup too as a whole. But yeah, Lofton probably being the, and Isaac Collins, those two being two, and Lane Thomas. So three big winners, so to speak. Lofton being the most interesting right now behind, I'd say Lane Thomas, because that train already passed. Lane train.
Jesus, you're on it right now, buddy.
But the Nick Lofton, I'd say Nick Lofton's the next guy that, like, if you're in a deeper league, keep an eye on, maybe add if you need some depth or some volume.
All right, Minnesota Twins. We know Trevor Larnach is a great guy to stream versus right-handed pitching. Don't touch versus lefties. Anything else standing out to you here? Like, they shuffle things around, but for the most part, most of these guys are playing every day, or at least in a part-time platoon.
Yeah, Gray kind of lost all his shine. Like, Christian, not that he had any shine, but Gray was playing, so it's like Creedler has kind of played every day, but it's almost like Taylor Walls, where it's just useless volume, so even he's not getting added in spots. So Royce Lewis playing first, that's way old news. So yeah, Austin Martin, weak side platoon, Fedco, weak side platoon, we can move on. See, look, rapid fire, baby, boom.
Yeah,
there Luke Kuechel sucks.
Yes, Luke Kuechel's horrible. Sacramento Athletics, the Law Dog has seemingly got his job back, at least versus right-handed pitching. Carlos Cortez would be in AAA if Brent Rooker could do baseball activities, but he can't. So that's my main takeaways. Obviously, Geloff hits the IL. Alika Williams gets recalled. We got Jacob Wilson's banged up. Alika played shortstop when Wilson was out, so that could be a thing. We talked before the show, it locks in your favorite third baseman for a while, it looks like. What do you got on Sacramento?
Yeah, Cortez is actually fallen. I knew he's been playing less, but I didn't realize he's been playing that much less. So like, he's a part-timer against righties. They've been playing. They played Muncy over him before the injury. Well, the reason why I'm not going to take him out of the starting lineup,
they started Jonah Heim at DH over him.
Yeah, and Meneses.
Yeah.
I'm looking against righties, strictly against righties. Apparently Manessas played against a righty. I didn't realize that. I thought it was strictly lefties. Anyway, so yeah, Carlos Cortez has sat two of the last. He started two, then sat the last two. He didn't start today, did he? He did not against a righty. So he is, all intents and purposes, on the bench. But they, I don't know who they started. Aleca Williams. Oh, because that's the other thing. You have Aleca Williams up playing more, but it's because he's going to play more, at least while Jacob Wilson's out. The fact that Jacob, yeah, you have, oh, because you have Heim at catcher. That's why Cortez was on the bench, because you have Heim at catcher and Langelier is DHing. So it's still a mess. I think with this many injuries, I'd be surprised if Cortez doesn't start playing more again, just given the, again, Wilson out, Geloff out. Are you really going to start Aleca? I mean, I guess I shouldn't ask, are they really going to start Aleca Williams over him? Because they started Joey Manessas over him and Jonah Heim over him. So I don't know. I'm not ready to quite fully bench Cortez in terms of like my projection on his playing time, but it's getting to that point where they don't have, it's, it might just be a revolving door. They don't have a, unless they decide to start DHing Langelier's more now they can, because it's open if they view that spot as an open spot. Yeah, I'm going to say Cortez is still part-time, but he sat three strings righty, so that's almost more of a bench. That's the big, and Muncy we talked about off, I was so, good thing, like playing time, oh, I'm ahead of things. I am sometimes. I had Muncy on my teams 2 weeks ago because I caught him coming off the IL. Like I saw like the report like he might be activated that Monday. Saw it very late that day, actually. So I grabbed him $2 everywhere. He barely played for 2 weeks. I held him for 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, man, there's some juice there. I did actually ride the week that he was in Sacramento, and I think he was also in Vegas. That was the week. It was the Vegas week. So I had him for that. He hit like a home run that week, salvaged the week, whatever. The next week, had to start him again for whatever reason, hit a home run, salvaged again. But he wasn't playing, so I'm like, I'm going to drop him. Now he's a full-time guy, and I'm out Max Muncy for cheap, and I'm sad. That's all. That was my rant. So being, it's great. It gets you. Sometimes you're ahead of the game. Sometimes you're, if you're projecting it right. I didn't project it right, but I got him for so cheap that I was just trying to chase the juice and the playing time that could have been there. And I was right. Just, I was early. Just, you know, never wrong. Just early, right? Him and Eldridge are my guys that I dropped prematurely this year. But I've made some good ads. I'm just trying. But it's always a negative that sticks with you, right?
Always a negative, especially with you. You love to stick with those days.
I like to torment myself because I try to think of it as like I'm learning from this. Like, don't make this mistake again, idiot. And I still make the mistake again.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to the Houston Astros, where they're kind of getting healthy. You got Lopefito in a platoon with Bryce Matthews. I've been paying close attention to this team because it's always either an injury or just the guy stinks, but they're almost as healthy as they've been in a long time, weirdly enough. Taylor Trammell's there as well. I'm not excited about any of the platoon situations. The only guy I'm wondering is how much longer to let Cam Smith hang around is my biggest question.
Yeah, and then Jake Myers factors in, but then he doesn't. So it's like, is Trammell, and so Trammell's been playing probably more of a strong type platoon now anyway, with what Jake Myers being the weak side. I haven't really paid much attention to that one, honestly. Probably those two platooning. I'm gonna change that now too, because and Vasquez, I've noticed Vasquez in the lineup more often recently too, so I'm guessing that there's something there with, I know Diaz, not that people were excited for him to be back because he's slow start, but he was starting off and playing more like pretty often when he got back, and then suddenly every time I look at that lineup I notice it's like, oh no, he's still playing. Okay, he's still playing pretty regularly. He's a three on, that he's off today, two on, one off. So it's been more of like a two on, one off, two a three on, one. Okay, so he's playing. I still say majority regular. Okay, cool. Yeah, still though. It's just been gross. Like they this is another team, it's a pain to deal with in terms of like paying attention to and monitoring, because like, Trammell has barely, has Trammell played that much or no?
They're trying to get him in the platoon, but he's not playing that much at all.
No, he's not at all. So it's Matthews. Matthews has been playing the most.
Matthews has been getting a lot versus left-handed hitters. Yes.
No, even against righties. Like he's played the last two. Sorry, that's where it gets weird.
He's primarily been platooning with Jake Myers in center, which is stupid. And then the other thing that screws it up is Yordan Alvarez will play in the outfield, so that someone in the infield can DH.
So today makes three straight games that Myers hasn't played against a righty. That's where it gets weird again. So it's like, it goes back to, I don't know what to do like this. So that it goes back to, this is why I like to, this is why I have three players, I think, marked as part-time right now, right? Yeah. I think I have three players marked as part-time on the lineup. And it's because every time I look, Trammell, Myers, or Matthews are in the lineup, but it's never consistent. Or like we had back-to-back games with Matthews in against righties, but then he'll sit against the next three righties. Trammell is in, this is his second out of 3 days he's been in the lineup against a righty. He'll sit against the next two. And then Bryce Matthews, he fluctuates the most. Usually he needs an injury. So it's really, so I guess it's almost one of those things where almost avoid that last spot. Cam Smith plays most days. Lil Perfido's getting strong side platoon. Those are your guys. If you're looking for streamers, Lil Perfido can have interesting weeks. Like if you catch him at a week, like over in Sacramento or something, like in a series for that against three righties, that would be your best bet, because Lil Perfido does play most days. But even then, he gets the occasional off day against righties too, because they want to fit in the other guys. So at the end of the day, it's kind of a mess. Kind of the frustration. Like I don't even know what to do with this. With those last few spots on this team.
That's how I would say the last few spots. Right now, I'm just not even wasting my time.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It's all over the board with what's taking place there. It's kind of like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, my God.
They are all over the board as well. Denzel Guzman is not, as you mentioned. That if you jumped on that early, you're good to go. Vaughn Grissom's losing a ton of playing time since coming out the IL. Oswald Peraza is losing playing time as well, as somehow he's platooning with Donovan Walton these days, which is crazy. Wade Meckler's been in a platoon since he got called up. I guess the question is do you believe Walton is going to stay on the strong side of this platoon, and is it worth a damn?
I don't know what to think. So that's the big issue. But then the other day, like they said, Guzman, I'd say Guzman plays three. Like, I'd have to look. I'm going to guess. I think
real quick, this is one thing I always talk to people in the Discord that freak out when someone sits. I'm like, this isn't 15 years ago. Guys don't play every game. Most guys are going to sit at least one day a week. It's just they pick and choose when that guy sits.
And like for someone like Guzman, they're probably going to pick a righty because he probably hits lefties better, right? He sat against a righty. He played before he sat against that righty. He started. So first two games up, he started, sat one. Then he played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I can count to 8. He played 8 straight before getting that day off against a righty. So yeah, I wasn't surprised he sat. But yeah, it's at the expense of you have Peraza and Grissom losing all the playing. And Peraza played yesterday as shortstop though. So clearly, they gave Neto a day off.
They gave Neto a day off is all that was. So he's just being an infield utility now.
He's more of the part-timer. Christian Moore is playing most days, but not every day either. He's another guy that's like, he's played 2, sat 1, played 1, sat 1. So it's one of those things where
they have like 5 guys for 4 positions.
I'd say Grissom's been all but relegated to a weak side platoon. So it's really it's really Christian Moore and Peraza. And then Moore's playing time was better before, obviously, Soler got back. So Soler getting back throws another wrench into things against righties because that's one less spot available. It's bad. It's just annoying. But Guzman can easily be out of a spot because Guzman, sure, he's been playing every day and all that, or most days. But he's slowed. Like he had that really hot week, and then this week he slowed way back down. I think there's a little bit of juice there. I added him. I got lucky. I say lucky because he was a target, but it was because I was trying to stay cheap, and I knew he'd be like 2 weeks ago he was cheap, and I actually got that really good week from him in the main, and I was like sweet. And then I knew this was I felt like this was a trap. I didn't drop him, but I feel like I probably should have. Like Rob Silver commented, is he a drop? I'm like, I would say yes if he wasn't playing already. Because I guess the idea was Soler comes back, he might lose the playing time. But I thought Guzman, it was just one of those things where if you look at everything else, Guzman showed that he was probably going to play. Is he going to be good? Probably not. But I have him in a couple spots, probably going to bench him. And I might give him one more week to see what happens if he can keep it going. But it's one of those things where so far, a good week, and then this bad week.
The thing with Guzman is he was really good in AAA, but people need to remember he's 22 years old.
Yeah, he's a kid.
There's going to be a lot of adjustments at the big league level. There's going to be a lot of good and a lot of bad.
And that's why I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to be patient because there is some juice there. And like you said, the AAA numbers are really what – that was actually what helped me get a little more excited for him. When I saw he was 12 home runs, 9 stolen bases at AAA this year, and he was only 22 years old, and he's going to come up, I'm like, they're not going to call this kid up to not play him. He might not be a high-end prospect, right? But he's definitely not coming up at this age to not play every day if he's hitting that well. At least in my head. So everything like for the Max Muncy stuff I get wrong, I do get right. I do hit on these guys sometimes. And like you say, it ends up breaking even most of the time, but still sucks. I hate when I screw up, but yeah. So Guzman, that's it. Guzman, Walton, Meckler. I have a hard time projecting Peraza getting the playing time because he was already not getting it before Soler was out, before Trout was out. And if Trout's short term, then Siri right now has full-time run, or he's on paternity list. I didn't take him off the lineup until because he's on the paternity list. Then Josh Lowe came up, I don't know if Josh Lowe's going to stay up over Siri. No,
he'll be gone by tomorrow or Saturday, probably.
That's what I'm thinking. So I don't go in there and bother with those little swaps because I'm afraid I'm going to forget to make the swaps again when they come back. So usually, but like if I see like, oh, Siri was optioned, then I'll make the swap. I've done that before. Anyway, so Siri right now is a guy, if you're looking for volume, but and there's some juice there, but you know how that is with Siri.
Yep. It's not ideal at all with Jose Siri unless he's playing a left-handed pitcher. Seattle Mariners, another one we've known, the Canzone, Rayleigh sits versus lefties, plays versus righties, Russ Snyder and Victor Robles. That's the easy switch. And honestly, that's majority of what goes on in Seattle unless I'm totally missing something.
No, I mean, obviously Robles had a path to playing time before the injury with the injuries, right, yeah. But then now you have say Rosarena is back. Canzone, it looked like, I thought he was gonna land on the IL for sure with the hamstring, and he was back in the lineup yesterday. Granted, maybe he's playing through it, which can always make things worse, obviously, but keep an eye on that. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, there's really nothing here. Emerson's slowing down, I think, right? I haven't really seen much on him. I have him in a spot or two, but
he's still fine in my opinion, but he's slowed down a little bit.
I just keep him. I'm holding him on the bench where I have him in OC, and he was a great fill in for Ellie because I happened to get the best weeks out of Emerson because I added him when he came up, and you know he went on to have like another good week or two after that. So Ellie's back. I was able to bench Emerson. So, but I think he's still great as a bench because he has the shortstop third base. And that's a really hard do combination with a guy with his potential like upside and stuff. So at the very least, I wouldn't drop him yet. I'd be benching him, especially because he's playing every day too.
Yep.
Oh, no. He flashed those skills. I think they're still there. So
yeah, I think he's just fine. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Let's go to the Texas Rangers to wrap up the American League here. We know Jock Jams is going to sit versus lefties, but has been crushing righties over the last month or so. Alejandro Osuna is a guy I've always wanted to see get some love. He's getting playing time versus righties, but not a ton versus lefties. What do you like here in Texas? Because this is another team that it's getting healthier than it used to be, but it's still a team that will platoon from time to time, and they're always banged up, it feels like.
Seager's back today. They love Nicky Lopez, and Lopez is hitting 300. He's hitting 300. It's a home run.
It's slowed down though.
I know.
We know who Nicky Lopez is, and it's going to be the gift when we knew who he was and we let him off the hook.
They made a point to give Josh Jung a day off today just to keep Lopez in the lineup.
It's
like that's because Seager's back, and I know Young's like I think he's on like a 3 or 4 game hitless skid right now, so that's fine. Give the guy a day off. He's been incredible this year, unexpectedly, like really solid. Incredible is a strong word. We'll call him solid. Anyway, so yeah, it's really just Nicky Lopez suddenly is relevant-ish, but now it shouldn't be with Seager. But I feel like they're gonna find a way to get Nicky Lopez in the lineup 3 days a week anyway, and give everyone off days. Because I bet you want to see Durant sits tomorrow for Nicky Lopez just to keep Nicky Lopez in the lineup. Because I don't know.
Like they kept Nicky Lopez and sent Josh Smith back to AAA. So like they want Nicky Lopez to play. To your point, it's stupid, but that's what they want.
It's a defensive thing. He's always been good defensively. That
actually could be a lot. Like that's where we have to start separating our fantasy brain from our baseball brain. Like that.
He's always been a good defender. Right now, this year at second base, he's a negative defender. Why is he on this team? He's been negative defensively. He's a positive defender so far at shortstop.
It's because the Rangers are a joke to begin with.
So anyway, so Seager's back, but how long is that going to last? There's really nothing here. We can move on. Actually, I'm going to be better. We have to cut time anyway, so we'll run through a lot of these teams faster. Watch, you'll see.
Perfect. We got 30 minutes to do the National League.
Perfect.
The NL East, the Atlanta Braves. It's a team where you know you got Dom Smith, you got Yaz. We know they're going to sit versus lefties. Rowdy Tellez has seen playing time lately, which is hilarious to me. What do you got? And Ha-Seon Kim's barely like the shortstop situation is probably the goofiest thing in the whole world because everyone was Mateo. Then Mateo stopped playing, and there's Kim. Kim stinks. That's a whole situation. Like Dubon's been great. He plays everywhere. What do you got for Atlanta?
Yeah, it's so I miss the old Braves that played everybody no matter what. It was the easiest thing to monitor. Now it's Kim barely plays. I think I have him as a part-time player against lefties and not even a part-time player against righties. I don't think Kim plays that much against righties right now. Yep. And he hasn't really pushed
emergency versus righties,
which is crazy because he's getting paid like $20 million to do this. And but like, okay. And like, so against shortstop against righties the last few games has been mostly Mateo the last two. But then before that was Kim 2 out of the last 3. So it's hard. Dubon factors in because they just moved Dubon around. Dubon's having a great year, by the way. Surprisingly, it's, you know, normally runs in hot and spurts, but it's been pretty consistent. Against lefty, same thing. Eli White plays most of the time. I saw him as a weak side platoon partner, but not a full-time platoon guy. Like, he'll sit. Joey Bart's been playing more against righties. I guess that's their way of getting, but you know, what's his face? Baldwin still playing every day, but now he gets his DH reps against lefties. So yeah. Bart all but guaranteed. Like, I should probably change him to a weak side platoon guy because that's kind of what he's become.
He hit a home run yesterday. So yeah.
Yeah. And he's always been better against lefties. I mean, usually righties are. So he's a guy that I'd say Bart's a weak side platoon guy. Eli White sort of is. I don't know. It's a weird one. So really nothing of relevance. I'd say Dominic Smith and Yaz, you ride them when they're hot. And otherwise, and Dubon is surprisingly good. I'm not sure he's good enough for 12s, but he's already owned in 15. So
he's close in 12.
I would say he's a fringe
flexibility,
guy.
Very close.
Deeper 12s. You have to have your MI and CI and five outfielder type of deep. That's the only time you're thinking about Dubon. He's probably, and even then, probably good enough to be on your bench. So that way, if you're trying to run like heavy pitching stacks on your bench, he's your bench back because he's eligible everywhere.
All right, let's go to your team, the Miami Marlins, where this has a lot going on because Griffin Conine gets recalled. People are very excited about him and Fab this past week, and tell me if we should be. Jacob Marcy has not been playing great. I'm honestly surprised he hasn't gone to AAA. Owen Casey is very hot and cold, but he'll play versus righties. Flip it over. You got everybody loves Estuary Ruiz. He hasn't played all week. Connor Norby just got sent to AAA while we're recording the show. So there's a lot going on right now.
Wait, did he?
While we're recording the show, there's a lot going on with this team. Cause like Marcy, I cut in 12s, Conine, I don't know what to do with him. I love Aroberto. They're leaving him alone. Thank God. But like Norby just got bounced. He plays third and first. That opens up something out there.
No, so it really doesn't.
But what do you see with Miami, I guess, is my question.
I got to see who they call. Did they call it Pauly or something? Or
they haven't probably announced the course.
I was going to say there's no move. Bounced. Because they don't have to do it until tomorrow. So if they call up Norby, or not Norby, they call up Pauly, it doesn't really help because they've been – so Norby I had as a part-time guy already because he barely played against righties. But then you had Sanoha and Jimenez factoring in, right? Like kind of like a day here, a day there. So the three of them kind of made a – like all part-time guys against righties. I just didn't want to have everybody being yellow on this damn screen. So I didn't do it. But they were all – part-time, it was aggravating. And then you had Estuary Ruiz. He started like 5 out of 6 and everyone's or 4 out of 5. And
the second time this season this has happened, by the way.
So I was talking to I think Phil on Twitter about this, and I was like, yeah man, every time he started this week it was because somebody was off, because Hernandez was off, because Stowers took a day off. I think Edwards was hurt, and they were able to move players around to make it to where Ruiz could play. And it was like against righties and lefties, so he played against both, and it looked like he was trending up. I thought his usage was going to be very similar to what we're seeing with Norby and those other guys, where he's going to play against some righties and all lefties. So he would be usable for stolen bases in 15 teamers. I didn't think it was going to be straight up. Yeah, no, we're not playing him at all after that 5-game stretch. That's where it was like, I wasn't as bullish as some, but I was definitely not like, I can't sit there and victory lap this because I never projected this. With that being said, now that they got rid of Norby, can they move players around? And the DH being open too, I was surprised that, again, they had more reason to get Ruiz in there. Griffin Conine, I love him. I just do. I don't know why. I think it's because he might swing and miss a crazy amount because that's what he does. But when he hits the ball, it goes far. That's his skill set. If you look, you'd be shocked if I told you his barrel rates and hard hit rates over the last 2 years, small samples. I'm aware of this, very small. But each of the last 2 years, it's been at least 14.5% and at least 48% hard hit rate. Barrel rate, hard hit, that's what he does. Hits the ball hard, barrels it well, can't hit the ball half the time. But when he hits it, it go far. But I think a lot of it's that paired with 5 righties next week in a Colorado, Sacramento, like at Colorado, at Sacramento.
Yeah, next week's schedule is awesome. That's what it was. To grab a bunch of Marlins as well, so I get that. Yeah,
that's what. I think it's a power play because a strong side platoon for the most part. But Conine's also the type of guy that he's already sat against a righty. He'll play 5 out of 6 against righties. Like he gets regular days off even while platooning. So that's where it gets aggravating. I think this is more of a, hey, I'm chasing power, and hey, that schedule next week, he could hit 3 or 4 home runs, or he could hit none, obviously, because it's Griffin Conine. So I think that's where the excite was for Conine. That's where my excite was. And Casey was the other one that should rightfully, and he's already hit a home run this week, I think. So, and he's been coming around in general the last 2 or 3 weeks. He's been hitting very well. So Casey's another guy that there's swing and miss, but you're looking for the tools, right? Sometimes you just have the belt and tools. Herberto is another guy that Playtime wasn't there, but he was smacking home runs as a pinch hitter and against lefties for a while leading up to it. So just bet. Sometimes like, I have to remind myself, I did this. I didn't get in on Hernandez because the playing time, I didn't protect the playing time to improve. Sometimes you just have to bet on the tools. And that's what I did with the Conine, was a home run tool bet, because the guy will, like yesterday was a perfect example. He went for four with a RBI double and three strikeouts. That is Griffin Conine. So it's just hoping that
skilled baseball HQ adage, it's draft skills, not roles.
And sometimes you have to, but you do that with Ruiz, you miss, right? So it doesn't always.
Well, yeah. I think if you do it enough, though, you're going to hit.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, and that's where I have to remind myself sometimes that, like, you could have Taylor Walls, but I'd rather have three games of Ruiz if he can get three games in a week. And that's where
I didn't agree with that.
Not all volume. That's what I'm getting at. Not all volume is good volume, right? And so we always preach plate appearances and all that, but sometimes it's not the way to go in certain situations.
Agreed.
So anyway, yeah, I don't know. I'm horned for Griffin Conine. So
beautiful. That's interesting to be horned about. Let's get to the New York Mets this week. And this is a team that people are really excited about. Jared Young, that has not panned out. Brett Beatty's not great. This team is on the struggle bus. Soto's back tonight, which is a big plus. I really don't have a lot when it comes to any excitement level. When it comes to these guys, obviously Semien goes to the IL. Ronnie Mauricio gets called up. People might get excited about that. I'm not. Maybe it just opens up more time for Beatty. Who knows? But what are your thoughts on the Mets here?
I think Beatty's the winner here for the, like, because he could play. He has the versatility, and he's already playing second base tonight against the lefty too. So that kind of tells you that, like, that's probably who's going to get the playing time. It's gross. And Mauricio's in tonight, so Mauricio came up, but where's he playing every day? I looked because Lindor's back. So Lindor's probably going to sit more often. Maybe Lindor plays, maybe in, like, for the next week or two, Lindor plays 5 out of 6 type of thing, or, you know, 4 out of 6, ease him back into regular everyday playing time. Cause he barely had a stint after the injury. So I wouldn't be too crazy or excited for Mauricio, and Beatty is still Beatty. He's awful. So, and that sucks, cause I was actually really in on him this year. He was a guy that I pivoted towards as prices climbed and his kind of fell. I was like, I liked what I saw at the end of last year, and it just hasn't panned out. Francisco Alvarez has been fantastic. They're playing him every day at this point between catcher and DH. So somehow he's apparently not available anywhere, but he's a guy that you want to ride that hot hand while you got it. C2. I mean, he's a C1 right now. He's a French C1 probably. With all the injuries piling up at catcher, because I'm so sick of it. All the good catchers I've missed on the top tier, and even the good ones I hit on, like Hicks and like others, they're getting hurt, or like Basalo have been dinged up. Like, these guys have been good.
It happens to catchers, man.
It sucks. It's frustrating, but like, this is the year that, like, the top catchers, it's almost like hitting on those top closers where if they stay healthy, they're elite. It's just anyway. Team's just, I'd say Beatty gained some playing time. Jared Young is probably a drop if you haven't already dropped him. And yeah, Mauricio, no real place to play every day right now. Just more of a depth piece, so I wouldn't go crazy unless we see them force him in at second base, maybe over Beatty against lefties or something. I don't know
if all right. Let's go to the Philadelphia Phillies, where
nothing.
The main guys we care about for fantasy, it's the same guys every day, righty lefty, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You got a couple moving parts at right field in the outfield. You got Grinconis and Justin Crawford against Derek Hill and Mundo Sosa. But like I said, nothing to get too excited about unless I'm missing something. Yeah.
No, that's pretty much it. We can move on there. It's just, you know, some guys like Marsh is playing off his mind, but what are you going to do with that information? Same. It's just fun to watch.
Washington Nationals, we already know Luis Garcia Jr. doesn't play versus lefties, and that's fine. We've accepted that. Cabo Ruiz has been awesome. He might sit versus the occasional righty, it looks like, based on your notes. But other than that, what do you got with the Washington Nationals, one of the best offenses in all of baseball?
It's really annoying that they have they're consistently inconsistent. Meade. He sat 2 of the last 3 against righties, and then plays tonight against a righty. And even while he's hitting, he's a lefty. It's a lefty today. So yeah, Meade has gone back to sitting against righties at times now, and it's like, but he's one of the best hitters on the team. Doesn't matter. So like, Jose Tana has been playing more. Tana's started what, 3 straight against lefties, 4 straight against lefties, or sorry, righties. Excuse me. So it's one of those things where it's Meade, one of the better hitters, consistently gets days off against righties, no guarantee for playing time. And yeah, it's, I don't know what I'll do with that. I, I, the second that I bench him in places, he hits a home run. I start him and he goes 0-for. I quit. that's just been the lifestyle of him. So it's like, so me just surprisingly inconsistent with the playing time. Vivas, same thing. Vivas is in the lineup all the time. And that's part of the problem with Mead. Mead doesn't play every day because you have Vivas playing two out of the last three. Tana starting four straight. Next thing you know, where Mead doesn't have a spot. And that's the life of well, that's what we're seeing here in Washington with against righties. And it's aggravating. And that's why the part-time role exists in my lineups, because how do you capture that without having notes or any way of doing that? And Garcia was playing against lefties at one point this year and then just completely stopped. Well, he started against one 2 days ago. Yay.
But we almost don't want him to. He's so bad versus
him. Yeah, I know.
Versus righties and call it a day.
Yeah, I know. And I'm just updating that now to say strong platoon versus part-time. I just never got back around to it, I guess. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Things slip through. He's been good. You're starting him most of the time anyway because he can still pinch hit and hit a home run. So, yeah, at the end of the day, though, it's been aggravating. It's just a hard team to really figure out and nail down playing time. Somehow, Nassim Nunez, I know he's been better lately, but somehow Nassim Nunez has managed to avoid all of this chaos and play every day, basically, or most days.
All right, let's go to the Chicago Cubs here, and I got a serious question because it looked like it was Matt Shaw's world, and Conforto's got the last two starts versus righties, which would be an absolute crime if this was going to take place here. But that's the biggest concern I have when it comes to playing time with the Cubs right now.
Is there the Cubs lineup today? There is.
Yeah, it's and Conforto and Shaw City.
It's Conforto and Ramirez over him, and Ramirez did start yesterday. Okay, so that's
great. So yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, so it's a mess again because Shaw started four straight before these last two games.
Yep.
Oh my God. Yeah, I didn't.
I picked a Matt Shaw in a lot of places.
So I did too. I tried to. I guess maybe I got lucky and missed them because this is aggravating. So Ramirez has played against the last two. I'm looking just strictly at righties. Ramirez has played two straight now. Shaw has sat two straight, and like you said, what's his face? Conforto didn't play against a righty yesterday, at least. I don't see Conforto. Am I missing it? Maybe.
No, it's yesterday was lefty.
Oh, is that why? Okay.
Yeah.
Conforto gets the last. Conforto hasn't played in a while, actually.
No, he hasn't played in forever. Now he's played two straight righties, which I don't. And that's where Shaw was in right field. So that's where Ramirez is one thing. Like DH, you could do a lot with that. But how is Conforto taking Shaw's spot?
I don't know what's going on there. It's so weird. He loves his platoons there, and maybe just Shaw four games was enough for them. Like, yeah, you know what? We don't want you to do this anymore. I don't know. I'll knock him down to part time for Shaw. I don't know. I don't want to put. I feel like I need to see more than two games because how do you go from? How do you say a guy?
Well, I agree.
It's suddenly,
this is what I want to keep an eye on stuff like this.
Oh, absolutely. And this is right. The type of thing. You know how earlier how I beat you to the lineups. I didn't. This lineup just got dropped while we were recording, so I didn't see this because had I noticed it, I would be like Shaw's out again. I didn't realize Conforto was in two either. That's one of those things where I'm not saying Conforto's gonna be worth anything, but Ramirez I kind of like if he plays more. I just don't think he's gonna play more because they've done that. They do this every week. They give Ramirez two or three games in a week, sometimes three if we're lucky, usually two, and never enough to actually matter for Fab. So I'm not gonna get my hopes up there. So it's really just let's watch Shaw and Conforto's playing time against righties. Otherwise, Nico Horner kind of sucks these days, and there's nothing really. Oh, Swanson remembered how to swing a bat. So there's nothing else there.
That's good.
So, yeah, no, good call on can I say Conforto, Shaw, and Ramirez. We have to watch their usage over the weekend, basically.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes to go here. All Cincinnati right. Reds.
There's my 10 minutes.
I'll get you to the J.J. Bleday part here, but, like, Nathaniel Lowe, he's not hitting as well as his playing time has disappeared a bit. What do you got for the Reds? I guess I got the biggest highlight is keep an eye on J.J. Bleday for me.
Yeah, so I brought that up yesterday, and it was more of like, let's platoon watch it, right? Because, and when I say platoon watch, I'm not saying, hey, he's instantly in a platoon, even though I changed my projection to suggest that. But now this team's healthy, and they like Dane Myers, and McLean's still on the team, so he's going to play against righties. Noel Vey's going to play against lefties. So this is against lefties. I don't see a real clear-cut spot for Bleday anymore. And then when you pair that with the fact that he came in to pinch hit, but, you know, so that the guys pinch hit on their off day sometimes, but he pinch hit like in the sixth inning, not like just one at bat late in the game because they needed somebody in a spot. They pinch hit him when a righty came in. So that's another red flag, right? So there's two red flags. I'm not saying I'm not even sure it'll be a strict platoon. I could see them giving Marte off days, like Dell off days, but Bleday isn't guaranteed playing time against lefties because A, they have a full team now that's healthy of guys that they like, and B, he hasn't been good against them anyway. Like, he's been a below average hitter, like 80 something WRC plus against lefties on the year. He's been playing against them, but in spite of, but he has been not doing much against them with his opportunities. So he's no guarantee for a spot. That's the concern there. Otherwise, it's more the same. McClain's kind of lost his playing time again. Marte plays most days. Arroyo plays like semi-regularly against righties.
It feels like it's just not enough to actually have any fantasy viability.
No, and he hasn't done much. It's not like he's doing like, it's not like there's any juice there to like, ooh, he's going to steal like three bags this week. Let's get him. So with Arroyo, so and McClain, he's not, I can't drop him. I wouldn't be able to. I'm not, maybe in a 12, but even then we see what happens. He gets on these heaters once in a while. And it's like, well, I drop him for that. So I don't know. He's a bench though. He's definitely a bench. He's not playing enough. Yeah. So that's where we're at. I don't know. Bladé's just on that platoon watch. Let's race through. Let's try to race through these. I want to get through all of them. I want to say we do.
Milwaukee Brewers. We know that the main platoon situations there. But what do you got in Milwaukee? Because even Bowers is playing versus lefties.
Bowers plays versus some, but then like sat. I think he started against one recently, but like sat against three before that. So his playing time against lefties has dwindled for in favor of Perkins and Vaughn as a weak side platoon bat, as well as he's been. Yelich was the weird one. Yelich has sat against two of the last four lefties.
That's true.
And I was surprised, but and normally I think it's just well-timed days off for him, because if you're gonna give him an off day, why not be against lefty, right? Like whatever. But the fact that it was like two of them in like a shorter period than I anticipated, I was like, huh. So that's more of like the, I put him in as a part-timer with Bowers, because I think, and Gary Sanchez plays most days against lefties, but it's hard to fit him in that lineup when you look at it without. So I put him as a part-timer down there too. It's just one thing, but Bowers, his playing time has been fluctuating, kind of been losing it against lefties a little bit here last I looked. So, but again, playing yesterday doesn't help my argument, I guess. Or was it yesterday against lefty? Yeah, it was yesterday against lefty. Before that, he sat three or four against lefties. That's when I changed him over to a platoon role, but he's more of a part-timer against lefties.
Do you think it's worth rostering Andrew Vaughn?
No, he doesn't play against righties. Like he,
I just want to clarify that, because
yeah, that's been a topic. He's been great too. He's been fantastic. Like,
yep, but it's a strict platoon.
It's pretty strict. He hasn't started up against a righty since June 16th. He's sat. That's the only righty he's faced in the last six.
Yep.
So he's not playing. If he was playing even a little more, but he's not. They're straight up. They're doing that thing. It doesn't matter how great he's hitting. You can't. In a 15, it's tough to hold him. Yep. I understand why people are, but are you really getting all these stats? And like, if he's only facing one lefty in a period, are you really starting him?
No, I agree.
It's hard.
Let's go to the Pittsburgh Pirates, where it's been pretty locked in. Callahan gets to sit versus lefties. The catching, Davis is pretty much like Paul Skeens and one other guy's personal catcher. Marcell Ozuna should just be in the California Penal League. What do you got with the Pittsburgh Pirates?
It's a lot like the lefty stuff. Billy Cook will play some. O'Hearn, or as I call him, Ryan O'Horn. Yes. He's that's my favorite one. That's a favorite nickname for a guy, because I he's been doing so good, but I think he slowed down since he got hurt. Anyway, Eric came back. Ozuna's a weak side platoon. I'm putting in Brannigan as a weak side platoon, but how long does that last? Because you have what's his face coming back here? Connor Griffin. So does Brannigan even stick around when he's back? He should be back soon. So I don't know. There's really a whole lot of nothing here. Andy Rodriguez just being he's finally doing the things we wanted from him 2 years ago when we all started drafting him 2 or 3 years ago. And I feel like no one's talking about it because there's a lot of excitement around him because of all the other good catchers now. But Andy was supposed to be like the beginning of all those good catchers coming up.
Yep.
He was kind of like the first big, like one of the bigger prospects that was supposed to come up and kind of start a trend of younger catchers. And it looks like, I'm not saying he's putting it all together, but he's definitely been really good lately.
Very good. Very good.
So he'd be like the only guy that like, hey, if he's still available. I know I added him in a league just last week. It was a 12 teamer. I had to pick up a Liam Hicks replacement, and I got Andy, and so far so good. I'm not complaining. Oh, as Merlin Valdez, he's a guy who just got hurt. Horowitz is out, so they can put O'Hearn at first base, and Valdez now has a path to regular playing time. So that's a name worth mentioning.
That's an interesting one to keep an eye on for sure. I do like that call. Let's go to St. Louis, where for the most part it's business as usual, unless you are, well, catcher's platoons, they will platoon. But Nupar has been seen platooning, but he's played the last two lefties anyway.
So, as I was saying, yeah, he's been getting in there more.
Nathan Church has been the odd man out, where at first it was Nupar. So I guess Church is the platoon man now.
Yeah, exactly. I remember seeing it the first time. I think yesterday was the second game that Nupar played against lefty in a row. It was the second game in a row yesterday. Because so the reason why I had it that way initially was because Church wasn't playing. Church was the center fielder, period. I didn't think that they wanted Lars Nubar in center field. It looks like they're willing to put Lars in center field, which changes everything. So with Lars being a center fielder, apparently, all of a sudden, I will now be making that change back to Lars playing every day. He's an everyday guy now. It's that simple. Could put him as a majority regular. So when he does get his off days, he'll probably be against lefties. So, yeah, that's the only thing. You're right. That was a good call. Otherwise, I don't know. His Burleson, he dropped down the lineup against lefties. I don't know if he's been losing that much playing time against them, though.
Yeah, he's still playing every day. He's their dude.
Yeah, he just happened to sit yesterday, of course.
Yeah, but, day off.
Exactly. Yeah, overall, though, that's it. That's it. Nothing else. We can move on.
In NL West, the Arizona Diamondbacks, Kepler is making his debut on Thursday night. Should be in a platoon situation if they know it's good for them. Pavin Smith stinks. He platoons, though. I really don't have a whole lot with Arizona.
I was waiting for this lineup to drop because I just randomly put, I actually got it right. I put Kepler fifth, but I had Pavin Smith eight. I guess they want Pavin Smith sixth for some reason.
So dumb.
And where's Arenado going? Not that Arenado deserves to be higher than eighth, but I can't imagine they've dealt.
He's been ice cold of late
too. Oh, I know. I'm just surprised with how this team loves the fact they have Pavin Smith batting sixth. I can't imagine Pavin Smith bats higher than Arenado, right? But they both suck. Whatever. Anyway, so yeah, Kepler strong side platoon batting fifth, so that could be stream worthy in 15s. That's kind of it here too. Tommy Troy's been playing most days. They finally put him in center field, so his playing time is. I mean, it's always been kind of good, but now it's all but like an everyday thing. Now there's a little bit of juice. I'm not overly excited for him, but in terms of like at least there's something there and some playing time, so that would be the only name that's of relevance that isn't already rostered on this. I'm not a Lourdes Gurriel guy. I'd probably, even though he's playing most days, I'm probably dropping him or benching him.
I wouldn't play him at all. Yeah,
unless you have the matchups, unless they go to Coors, because that's, you know, the perk of playing in that conference.
Yep, I think that is a very, very good one. Let's go to the Rockies, because we have to. Mickey Moniak's back, which we know is a platoon for his entire career. A lot of moving parts, as usual. It seems like it's kind of calmed down a little bit, I would say. But, like, Tyler Freeman's still getting at-bats. It's weird. What's your thoughts on Colorado?
They love Tyler Freeman, and I don't understand it. And something's got to give. I don't understand. And Edward Julian, like, he's another guy who's playing every day against righties, even when he doesn't deserve it. Like, he's awful. He's been a negative offensively and defensively. I don't understand how he's still on the team, and he should. And I know they've been talking about getting Carrig playing time, like, or reps in the infield, because they need to, because they have all these guys returning. And Carrig sat the last game against righty. It seems like it was just an off day, but the fact that they still sat him, like, I don't know, it's aggravating. I could see that if Julian doesn't get DFA'd when Doyle and Beck come back. Not that they're great, but they have to make room for these guys. Carrig shouldn't get sent down. Freeman shouldn't be playing over Carrig, but could. It's annoying. Come the trade deadline, McCarthy's built up enough value. These guys are going to have room. I can even see Moniak get dealt, considering that he's on a one-year deal anyway. So there's going to be plenty of room for Carrig to play in the near future regardless, but it could get annoying because the Rockies are going to Rocky. But I don't know. I think Carrig plays most days. I think Karros will lose playing time. We've already seen Troy Johnson lose playing time, even though he's batting 300. he's losing playing time for guys like Julianne and others. So that's where it's weird. But their regulars are their regulars. Like, I wouldn't worry too much.
All right, let's go to the Los Angeles Dodgers, where it's I guess Edmund, he's back. Teoscar's banged up. Right now, Kyle Tucker's back is nagging him. But what do you like with the Dodgers? Because I'm just not a Ryan Ward or Dalton rushing guy right now.
Rushing is just dumb. I don't get it. Anyway, that's like he just looks like he's your 80s bully from like Nerds. What's that movie? The Nerds movie. Revenge of the Nerds. He reminds me of like he would be on like the bully side trying to and getting beat up by the nerds. That's what he reminds me of. That's what I think of every time I see him. Anyway, that's another. That's off topic as always. Ryan Ward, he's playing most days against righties, but Teoscar's rehabbing. That's probably coming to an end soon. Freeland, I put him as a part-time guy, but he's playing just about every day. Like he's been playing over Rojas against lefties even, and they're finding a way to get him in the lineup most days in general. So he's still playing every day, even though I don't have it that way. Well, especially with Tucker out, but it's just one of those things where it's hard to fit him. One of those like they have 10 guys for nine spots and they're making it work thing. Pajes is batting second. That's pretty much it. So Freeland, but Freeland's also Freeland and Ward both on when what's the face comes back. Ward probably gets when Teoscar comes back, Ward's probably gone, and Freeland's probably gonna lose playing time even more so to Edmund at that point.
Agreed. San Diego Padres, man, Samad Taylor has taken that job and run with it literally these days. Other than that, though, like, I'm not playing Will Wagner, I'm not playing Jace Bowen. The Padres are not a good baseball team. Like they're somehow like staying and winning games from time to time, but Jackson Merrill's heating up. I guess that's a plus. So is Fernando. But once you get past maybe Machado, it gets ugly quick.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like the half drawn horse or the car, like the Ferrari under the trailer carport.
Yes,
it's like it's that meme. I know. And Andujar went from, and this is a team that they finally have some like consistency. France and Wagner being consistently in the lineup. They, for like the first 2.5 months, it was the first top five or six. And then like 7 through 9 were three. It was a revolving door. You'd have three different guys playing two games a week. Andujar kind of relegated to a weak side platoon role at this point. Since he's been back, he hasn't played a single righty since returning. And even then, like, I haven't even seen him in every lineup against lefties. So I don't know if he's more of a bench role now. Samad Taylor, like you said, ran with it. And that's kind of the only real name of relevance. Ty France, he had another home run yesterday. He's playing most days. He's another guy that kind of just gets forgotten about, but it's because he's easy to forget because we none of us are expecting it to hold up, but he's doing, I feel like he's been consistently decent for like a couple weeks now and just no one cares, including myself. Yeah. I haven't added him. He's made it on the waterfalls.
I've looked at him like so many times. I'm like, do I really want to do this again? And he's yeah, to your point, he is playing well, he's hitting with power and he's playing almost every single day. So maybe I should care, but I guess I also don't really need a first baseman. So that hasn't been on my list of things to do.
Where is it? It's for this. We're trying to look for this month, just this month alone, real quick. For I think, this should be the last one with Giants. Giants, they suck. Yeah. In June, I went way far. It doesn't matter. In June, he's been awful. But apparently, it was March, April, and May. He had like OPS of 800 or better in both his months. And then last month, he's just been bad. But then again, he just hit another home run the other day. So, and he's playing more. So I don't know what to do anymore with this team.
Yeah, it's not a good team.
He's been awful up until he had two. That's what it was. So he's been awful
last week. It's like the last week's
been. He's been awful, and then like in the middle of all this awful, a two home run game and a home run last night, and like you said, last like 7 or 8 days. So yeah, that's what it's been. It's been awful with those two games carrying it. Okay, that's why I keep seeing his name everywhere when I look up box scores. Anyway, it's still one of those things. But like you said, playing time and some power upside if you're desperate, and we just kind of ignore it. Last team is the Giants, right?
Yep. Last one with the Giants here.
You know more about them than I do.
Sadly enough, it's pretty much the same revolving door, but it's going to get interesting because Elliot Ramos is coming back any day. And I think that means Drew Gilbert's gone, but maybe not. Maybe they get Brakoto gone because it's a righty-righty situation. I think either Ramos or Jung Hoo goes back to center and makes things really interesting at that point in time. So that's the only thing I even care about. Everything else is pretty much business as usual unless you got something.
No, it's Gilbert and Cox. Cox has been playing mostly against lefties, but I know Barracuda's been playing more. He played today too. So
he's only played these two because Schmidt goes the second because Arise is out.
Yeah,
Barracuda wasn't playing at all. Period.
No, exactly.
But now he's homeward in two straight. So does that get?
Of course he did.
It's weird.
Of course he did. So he'll probably play. Maybe Cox is sent down. But yeah, I think if Ramos is up, I don't think Ramos is going to be relegated to a weak side platoon role. He might play most days. It might be like one of those like where he plays most days against righties, but like maybe sits occasionally type of thing for other guys. But at the end of the day, I don't envision him being up or being back and not playing. So I know you have the fact you went 4 minutes over for me. I appreciate it, but
it's all good. It's all good. It's we covered a lot as usual, Mr. Kurland. I appreciate you joining me. I'll give you 2 more minutes. Let everybody know where they can find you and what you got going on.
Just always like if. Just on Twitter or at @Mike_Kurland and then the website prospectslive.com. And you can either search playing time there or just backslash playing time. It's that simple.
Yep, I've been looking at it the entire show. It's pretty sweet. I love the notes feature. It's just I do little notes for the Patreon. So like I prefer that kind of quick bullet point stuff than full fledged articles more majority of the time. So
that was a big sell. Nice when they told me they could do that, I was like, all right, I'm definitely happy to, because that was always what I wanted on my own site. And that's what was like the fact that they brought a lot of my vision to life, paired with some of the stuff they had ideas with. It was just a really good, it was smarta, putting an SH in there. Smata was really good working with me behind the scenes about things, and we put it together. And this was all done like, and it went from like no like talks to like it was like nothing to like a month later we had it launched. And this is like this is still the first go. So I'd like to think that we can improve on this next year. But anyway, thanks for having me on. And honestly, this is fun to do. So
thanks as always. We'll have to hopefully do it sooner than later this time around, and maybe our schedules will link up again to make it happen and make people happy. But until then, make sure you guys follow Kurland on Twitter at @Mike_Kurland. Make sure you check out Prospects Live. It's a lot of great stuff over there as well. And more importantly, the King was back, folks, but now the King is gone. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 864. Catch you all next time.